Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God podcast. We invite you to join us for Sunday morning services at 10:30 at 3520 Strayer Road, Maumee, Ohio. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your message. Lord, I pray that you bless us. I pray that you strengthen us. And Lord, I pray that you show us what we need to be here at Heritage, here as Christians, Lord, dedicated to you. In your name we pray. Amen. The book of Ephesians was written in about 60-65 AD. But there's another place that the church at Ephesus has talked about, and that's in Revelation chapter 1. And it's the first church. And where was this church located? This church was located in western Turkey, about 3 miles from the sea. And it was a community of about 250,000 people. They had an amphitheater that seated 25,000. Think of that, made out of stone and rocks. This was the center of trade for the Roman Empire and the Greeks. And Paul went there and stood up in front of that group at that theater and spoke. And they didn't listen to him. Matter of fact, he ran out of town, Paul did, for speaking in Ephesus. But he went back and he spent 3 years there teaching. And this church was built there, and it was a good church. Matter of fact, in Revelation, it even says, he says, I'm telling you, you are keeping the law. I mean, you are getting rid of those people who break the law. You're getting rid of the people who are not living up to the standard of God. You're doing good. But if I was in Ephesus, I would have thought, stop right there. I like the first part. But I have somewhat against you. And what's that? You've left your first love. That being written in about 90 AD, and this being written 25 or 30 years earlier in the book of Ephesians, is dealing with the same subject. Matter of fact, the book of Ephesians divided into two parts. The second part is chapters 4 through 6. And there's 40 imperatives or commands in 41 in the book of Ephesians. 40 of those commands are in chapters 4, 5, and 6. Only one in chapter 1, 2, and 3. The thing is, in the churches today and in Ephesus back then, we really like to preach chapters 4 through 6. Thus saith the Lord. I mean, here's some of the things that he says in those chapters. He says, make sure I'm in the book of Ephesus. You're no longer children tossed to and fro and about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and cunning craftiness, deceiting and plotful. But you should be joined together. You should walk the walk of the rest, not as the Gentiles, but as newness of life. You should stop the uncleanliness and the greediness and the lust. Stop lying. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Give place, no place to evil. Those who steal, steal no longer. No corruption come out of your mouth. I mean, he's laying it out, straightening them out. Children, obey your parents. Husbands, love your wives. And we like to talk about those things and teach those things in the church. But let me show you what he says here in chapter 4, verse 1. therefore, and you always, sooner you see a therefore, you want to look and see what it's there for. Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. Paul was in prison when he wrote this, and he said, but I am a prisoner by choice because I choose to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is true, and I understand it is true, and I'd rather stand for him in this world than stand for myself or stand for things that are more, that are comfortable. That you walk worthy of the calling which you were called. Walk. That's movement. Walking towards, walking in your calling. We are called to serve God. We are called into eternity. We must see eternity. That's not the temporal things of the world. With all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, and endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. He said, therefore, I want you to understand who you are in Christ and how you ought to walk so that you can walk in unity and you can walk in peace. If the church is not in unity, then the church cannot function. The world is not in unity, and that's why it's not functioning well, why there's wars and rumors of wars everywhere. And where there isn't a war, there might as well be a war because people hate one another enough in order to fight. But God doesn't judge things by how the world does them. He judges things by how the church does them and how the church responds to them. So therefore, and I'm going to tell you this, don't teach what comes after the therefore if you haven't taught the before. Ephesians 1, 2, and 3 make some strong statements about our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't tell somebody, don't go to work and tell somebody this is sin and that's sin and this is sin. Go to work and tell them about Ephesians 1, 2, and 3. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. I stand here and you sat there by the will of God. That breath was the will of God. That heartbeat was the will of God. That raising my hands was the will of God. I couldn't do anything without the will of God. You would not be alive today if it wasn't for the will of God. And that's what Paul is saying, apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God to the saints who are in Ephesus and the faithful in Christ Jesus. He says, blessed be the God and our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. He chose us before the foundation of the world. He chose to have Christians. He chose to have a people made in his image. He chose that. And then he goes on to say that I have predestined you. Wow. God knows the future. We know that because we have read the prophecies of the Old Testament about Jesus Christ and how they were fulfilled in him. I was in the Navy. All of you know that. The Navy was around before I was born. Before I was, the Navy knew what it was. Before I was, God knew who he was. God knew what a Christian was before I was. God knew what a Christian was going to be and how a Christian is going to act and how a Christian is going to live before I was. So I went into the Navy. And from the time that I put my hand up in Cleveland, and they swore me in. From that time on, I was in the Navy. They sent me to boot camp to teach me how to act and how to walk, how to cut my hair, how to wear my uniform, how to behave when I'm out of uniform. Everything they taught me. I was predestined by what had already been set up for me. The same way as God has predestined us as Christians, He has certain things for us. But we have free will, we must accept that. We must put our hand up and say, God, I surrender all. And God said, if you do, I'll show you how to walk, I'll show you how to talk, I'll show you how to dress, but you've got to surrender first. Let's not get into chapter 4, 5, and 6. Let's get into chapter 1. Do we know what it is to be born again? Do we know what it is to allow God's Spirit to work in us? You don't become a Christian by your teaching. You don't become a Christian because you're a theologian. You become a Christian because of the Holy Spirit comes into you. My granddad was a minister. He preached all over Ohio, Indiana, Michigan. My mom and dad met at a revival he was holding in Canton, Ohio. My granddad had a fourth grade education and no theology background. You know what he had? A relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you say, well, preacher, a preacher can't be a preacher today without having college and seminary. Oh, yeah? Who makes you the judge of who God calls? When God calls, it is His Spirit that makes a person different. And you can see that Christ is alive in them. And it's that live Spirit, that eternal life that draws people unto Christ and unto His teaching. And if you want to teach the Word of God, all you got to do is read it. Believe it. And don't let it compromise anything. And God said, He has predestined us, having predestined us to the adoption of Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will and to the praise of the glory of His grace by which He made us accepted in the beloved. But He said, Bob, you were in the Navy 50 years ago. Have you forgot some things that I taught you 50 years ago? He's saying, church, you were saved 50 years ago, or you're saved 25 years ago, but if you just came to church so much that it's like rolling off like the water would from a duck, do you really understand what Christianity is supposed to be about? It isn't about the chandeliers. It isn't about the budget. It isn't about whether you have music or don't have music. It is about the Holy Spirit of God indwelling people, showing them that eternity is what we were made for and what we live for. And then we can walk away from the things of the flesh. He made us to abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mysteries of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself. That in the dispensation of the fullness of the time, He might gather together in one all in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in Him. Wow. He's saying, do you know Him? Do you know Him? Do you know Him? You know how to live, you know how to walk, you know how to look, you know how to make decisions according to eternity, not according to this temporal short time in life. Then He says this, and this is, I think, where the therefore comes in. Therefore, if you love God with all your heart and all your might and all your soul, then behave. Here's what He said in verse 14 of chapter 3. For this reason, I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For this reason, because of eternity, because of who God is in me, because of the Holy Spirit that empowers me, because of the eternal life that He has given me, because of that, I now bow my knee before Him. And here's His prayer. From whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you. Have you ever prayed this prayer for someone? I know we pray about, we stop their drug addiction, help them out of their alcoholism. Lord, help them to get their life straight, their life straightened out. But here's the prayer that will allow those things to happen. Lord, that he would grant, that he would, I'm praying that the Lord will grant you, according to his riches in glory, to be strengthened with the might through his Spirit in the inner man. He said, I am praying that that Holy Spirit that you received when you accepted Jesus Christ just grow. You ever seen the Incredible Hulk? How he goes from this little guy to this great big guy. That's what I see with the power of the Holy Spirit. God has made you a new creation in Christ Jesus. He allows this inner man. And I pray that this inner man becomes so big and the spiritual man becomes so big that he overpowers your body so the people can see Christ. That he would grant you according to his riches of his glory. And to be strengthened with might through his Spirit and inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, that you can know the length, the depth, and the height of who Christ is. If you can know that, if our kids could know that, then chapters 4, 5, and 6 will be easy to teach. But if they don't know that, then it's going to be hard to go forward. Because this is the first love that he's talking about in Revelation. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask and think, according to his power and his works in us. And I can tell you this as a Christian at 71 years old, God has done way more than I ask and way more than I thought could be done in my life. He has given me joy unspeakable and a peace that passes all understanding. I don't worry about dying. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. You're going to die. Your body's made of flesh. You're going to die. I try to every Sunday say, Lord, I want this Sunday to be the best Sunday. I don't want it to feel second best. I want it to be the best Sunday that we've ever had, because I don't know who is here for the last time today. So it better be right, and it better be good, and it can't be just whether we have music or don't have music, whether we have someone to pray or not someone to pray, or whether we have lights or don't have lights, or heat or don't have heat, we're going to have a good church service. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Therefore. Wow. That's what it's all about, folks. It isn't about whether I can teach my kids right and wrong, whether I can get my kids a good education. It's about, do my kids really understand that when they accept Christ, that the Holy Spirit comes into them, and there is going to be a conflict when they try to walk according to the world rather than the things of God? And Lord, I'm praying that that Holy Spirit just grow so that it outgrows the flesh and it outpowers the flesh so they make the decisions of an eternal being, not a temporal being. And when we start doing that, then we can be loving and giving and loving, suffering with temperance. Then God can use us. But until then, there will be jealousy and envy and strife and hatred and high-mindedness, as the Bible describes. But it isn't. 4 through 6 is very important. But you cannot teach Christian principles without the Christ and the Holy Spirit of Christ within someone. Let us stand. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for your people. And Lord, I pray that everyone here today, everyone listening to my voice, look inside of themselves, that they might find that eternity that you have placed in their heart when they accepted you, and that that spirit might grow so our decisions can be your decisions, not ours. We're a selfish generation. We want what we want. But Lord, sometimes none of us get what we want, but we get what you want us to have. And Lord, we seek your blessing through your grace. And we know, Lord, if you empower us through your Spirit, we can walk in your way. And for that, we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God podcast. We invite you to join us for Sunday morning services at 10:30 at 3520 Strayer Road, Maumee, Ohio. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.